Heavenly Father, this is the Word of God. We have a real treasure here, more so than a casket of jewels, more than a Reserve Bank of Australia ever heard about. We've got precious riches in the Word of God, and we thank you so much for it. We're praying now tonight that the Holy Spirit will call to mind the things we need to consider, that He will help us to compare spiritual things with spiritual things, that He will teach us truth, guide us into truth. You say, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has access to all the treasures of God. So we'd like you, Lord, to lay some of your treasures out. We thank you for your generosity that you give us many precious things. Feed us with your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading from Genesis 49. I want you to read with me from verse 22 down to verse 25, verse 26. Genesis 49, verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. There are about 147 or 48 words in our text. And if you look at the context with me, in verse number 1 of this chapter, it tells us that Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Beginning with verse 3, he lists his sons and he pronounces upon them prophecies. He gives us insight into their characters and describes them. We looked at Joseph in particular. And then we come to verse 33, in the end of the chapter, when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered up his people. These are the last words of Jacob. What an unusual scene. Jacob, 137 years old, was he? Called together his sons, gathered them all around there in possibly the tent where he lived, and then he pronounced his blessings upon them. And there's one in particular that stands out, and that's Joseph. And that's why we wanted to read about him tonight. I want to talk to you about Joseph, the fruitful bough. We read about it here in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by well, whose branches run over the wall. Joseph, the fruitful bough. I'm so impressed as I read about Joseph. Joseph was a fruitful person. If I ask you the question tonight, what would you like to be in your life? Does the word fruitful come to mind? Sometimes we say, I'd like to be rich or famous. I'd like to be comfortable. I'd like to be happy. You ever think about being fruitful? You know, the Lord says to us in John 15, He says, the branch that beareth not fruit, He casteth away. You know, the Lord's not going to cause us to be lost, but He said, if a branch doesn't bear fruit, men gather them up and burn them. You know, our world really doesn't have any use for a fruitless Christian, for a barren, sterile Christian. We who know Christ, we should say, oh Lord, make me fruitful. Whatever pruning you have to do, whatever fertilizing, whatever you have to do in my life to make me fruitful, make me fruitful. I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I want to bear the fruit of my lips. I want to bear the fruit of my character. I want to bear fruit. Make me a fruitful Christian. Well, Joseph is a fruitful Christian. Was in the Old Testament a fruitful believer in God. Have you ever thought about all the ways in which he was fruitful? Think about how, because of Joseph, the entire Egyptian nation was blessed because Joseph was fruitful. You remember how he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams? the seven lean cattle and the seven fat cattle, the seven or seven fat cattle and seven lean cattle, and then the seven fat ears of corn and the seven lean ears of corn. Pharaoh dreamed about. Joseph interpreted the dream, explained it to him carefully, and Pharaoh said, "Well, then if you can understand this, then we need you to be over all the agriculture of Egypt. You need to be the minister for the economy. You need the minister of agriculture. You're in charge. You take care of this." And he actually saved the nation of Egypt from terrible devastation. And as a result, he was also able to feed the surrounding nations. And then we think about him consolidating the kingdom under Pharaoh because of wise leadership. And then when his brothers came to see him, it didn't happen immediately, he was reconciled to the brothers that sold him into slavery. And he provided for them. Even provided for his father, cared for his father. And when you look at Joseph's life, you say, now there is a fruitful person. There is a fruitful person. So I want to ask you the question tonight. Do you see in our text how he accomplished so much? How did Joseph accomplish so much? It's in our text in verse 22. Let's read it again. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Consider with me three things this evening, three headings. First of all, the fruitful bough began inside a wall. Can you see that? There's a wall. The Jews used to often enclose their vineyards or their orchards inside walls of stone. It kept animals out. It kept thieves out. It kept harm from coming to the vineyard or to the orchard. And so the first thing we see here at the very end of the verse is that there is a wall there. And Joseph was first of all planted within a wall. Have you ever given thought to this, that before we're born, our parents and grandparents, our ancestors, have actually dug the footings for the walls of our lives, and that people are laying the preparation for building a wall for our protection, and that wall includes the location where we are, because they would have us in a safe location. And then oftentimes as we grow, we add stones to this wall, and we build up probably three different layers of stones in this wall as time goes on, because we eventually come to a place where we choose the location where we are, and then we choose the vocation, and then we choose how much, I don't know a better word to use than the word emancipation, how much freedom we have. And if you look at Joseph's life like this, the land of Canaan was to be their land. And so Joseph is thinking probably in his childhood, this is the land God said he's going to give to the descendants of Abraham, and this is where I will live my whole life. And then when it comes to vocation, when it comes to the job I will do, well, my father is a shepherd and my brothers are shepherds and my grandfather was a shepherd and my great-grandfather was a shepherd. And so it just makes sense that I'll be a shepherd too. And that was the vocation. And then we think about the level of freedom that he enjoyed. We would guess that Joseph would say, it's good to be a free man. It's good to be a free man. No one owns me. I'm not a slave. I can come and go as I like. I don't have to be afraid that a master is going to chase me down and catch me and drag me back and put me in chains, because I have a great deal of liberty. You know, there's a lesson here for all of us, because all of us begin within a wall. All of us begin within a wall. When I was a lad, I grew up in a little town, very, very dry country, and I thought, this is my place. This is where I will be all my life. My dad was a telephone repairman. He'd been a soldier before. Our dads form a lot of the influences, and they are great influence in our lives, and I thought, well, you know, I might be a soldier, or I might be a telephone repairman. And I'm thinking along those lines of what Dad did. And so that was what I was thinking about vocation. And I'm laying these stones. When I got into high school, I said, I know what I want to do. I want to be a draftsman. And I want to become an electronics draftsman. And I had all these thoughts. And Dad had planted some of these seeds in my mind. And I'm thinking, this will be my vocation. And I probably didn't think a lot about it. But I know inside of me, I was very happy to be a free man. To be a man who was not owned by anyone else. Have you thought about that? Because in this text, it tells us that Joseph was a fruitful bough that ran over the wall. Oh, what does that mean? Read it again. In Genesis 49, verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And it's when we come to the branches running over the wall that the whole complexion of the verse changes. Because if our first word is the word wall, and we're all planted within a wall, the second word is the word will. Because God's will for Joseph was for his branches to go over the wall. God's will for Joseph was for his branches to go over the wall. Unusual, isn't it? I want to say to you, dear friends, that when you read the life of Joseph, go back with me to chapter 37. Let's have a quick glance here in chapter 37. What did God tell Joseph beforehand about his will for Joseph? Well, you can search the chapter, the chapters, and you'll find here in chapter 37 that it says here that Joseph dreamed a dream in verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren. They hated him yet the more. And it says in verse 7, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." Well, his brothers understood that immediately. They said, "What? You've got to be kidding. You're the junior brother. You're the little fella. You're near the last born of the 12 sons of Jacob, and you're telling us that you're going to rule over us and we're going to bow down to you?" Joseph said, "That's what I dreamed." And then he comes back to them in the same chapter. In verse 9, he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren. "I dreamed a dream," in verse 9. "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Oh, wow. His brothers were very put off with him. Did you know that those two dreams are all we know of God's revelation to Joseph about what God's will for his life was? And it was fulfilled, wasn't it, in Egypt? His brothers did bow down to him, even his father. It did happen. But I want to tell you that the branch growing over the wall is not revealed there. Do you know how the branch growing over the wall was revealed to Joseph? That was God's will. God's will was for him to extend his reach beyond the wall of his location and his vocation and his emancipation, for his branch to reach beyond the wall. That was God's will. How was that revealed? It was revealed by providence. It was revealed by painful providence. His brothers hated him. They were jealous. They saw him coming when his father sent Joseph to Dothan to find his brothers. They say, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's grab him and let's kill him." One of the brothers said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's just put him in the pit. I'll get him out later." And so they put him in the pit, and he intends to come back. And while he's away, his brothers grab him and sell him to merchant men, to slave traders. That was painful. They later said, "Didn't I tell you not to do that?" One of his brothers said, "Didn't you hear his crying? Didn't you see his tears?" It was painful, wasn't it? But that was God's way of taking the branch over the wall. And when he got to Egypt, do you know what happened? Not only his location changed and his vocation changed, because now he becomes a slave and he loses his freedom. Let me ask you a question. Is it better to be in the will of God as a slave than it is to be out of the will of God as a free man? That's scary, isn't it? I don't even like to think about that. Do you like to think about that? Did you know that Joseph, in the will of God as a slave, probably was never set free as a free man again? when his father dies, Joseph goes to Pharaoh and says, "May I have your permission to take my father's body back to Canaan and bury it there?" Joseph and Pharaoh says, "You have my permission." I think what he was saying was, "I'm still a slave. I'm still under authority to you. I'm still indentured to you." And Pharaoh allowed him to do it. But there's no indication that he was ever a free man again. And so what happened was that as God revealed His will for Joseph, God's will for Joseph was for him to grow beyond the wall, to extend his life beyond the wall. But he never would have been fruitful in the land of Canaan like he was in the land of Egypt. There's a great lesson here for us. I think about this. I think about this in connection with us. Did you know that we all have a reluctance to get outside our comfort zone? Where are you happy? Here. I love being here. You ask me where I'm happy, I'll say Atherton Tableland. I've picked out where I want them to plant me if I die before the Lord comes back. I want them to put me in the ground, and I want it to be there, and I'm happy there, and I don't want to go anywhere else. That's my location. What's my vocation? Preaching. What is my freedom? I have plenty of freedom, enormous freedom. What if God says to me, "I say, buddy, I want you to go over your wall, the wall of your comfort zone. I want you to push through the plush curtain." Oh, we live behind the plush curtain. I want you to push through the plush curtain. I want you to go where you've never thought about going. How many of you know the name Robert Louis Stevenson? Do you know the name Robert Louis Stevenson? I was reading his biography the other day. You know Robert Louis Stevenson was raised in a Christian home? Very, very strict. Very, very, very strict Christian home. By the time he was about 25 or so, he turned his back on his father's faith. He completely rejected it. He became a friend, a companion of some people who were not trustworthy, who were not believers, who did not know the Lord. You know where he ended up dying? He ended up dying in the South Pacific. He ended up dying at Samoa. Do you know who was there when he was there? James Chalmers was there. James Chalmers was a missionary in Samoa. When Robert Louis Stevenson was there, he'd run, he had left, he'd married a woman much older than himself, and he had run and left and was living there. And you know what he said? He said, "James Chalmers made a deep impression on me." You know what? Because James Chalmers overgrew his wall. He grew beyond his wall. What does it mean to grow beyond our wall? It means this. It means that God works in our lives. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10, he said, "It's not I that did this, but it's the grace of God at work in me that did this." And in Philippians 2:13, he said, "It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So when God works in a person's life, any person, every person works in a Christian's life so that he outgrows the perimeters, the natural boundaries of his life that he started out in to begin with, that he outgrows that. He extends his outreach far, far, far beyond where he grew up. It's God at work. It's God at work. That's what it means to outgrow your perimeter, to outgrow your boundary, outgrow your wall, to go beyond, to do what you couldn't do. We have difficulties with that. We all like to stay inside the wall. We love to stay inside the wall. We just love to stay inside the wall. So comfortable. Wife, pull the curtains. Wife, close the door. Wife, close the garage door. Let's just be inside our wall. Let's just be comfortable. And the Lord Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So the Lord calls us to go where we never could go, what we could never do. When I was a little boy, you're going to think I'm telling you fib. My mother's not alive, so you can't ask her. When I was a little boy, I was the most timid of little boys you ever met. I was so frightened that I would cry at school. The first day I went to school, I ran away from school. I did. I didn't like it, so I ran down the hallway, jumped down the steps, ran across the school ground. It just so happened my mom was driving up to pick me up. They only let us go half a day the first week or so. And she said, "Are you out already?" I said, "Yeah." Because I was the most timid and fearful little boy you ever saw. People could make me cry just at the drop of a hat. And I couldn't stand up in front of a classroom and give a book report. It would terrify me. I'd never be able to do it. When I was a little boy, Mom and Dad used to take us sometimes, and we would climb this big earth dam that ran around the west side of our town. It was about 10 kilometers long. They intended to retain a great body of water. They ever succeeded in retaining all the water they thought they'd get, but it was about 30 or 40 meters high, sloped up fairly steeply, and it wasn't too hard to climb. But when I get up on top and see the big world out there, and it was so high and so scary, we lived in really flat country, there wasn't much hills there, I'd actually get down and try to hold on to the ground because I was so scared. But the Lord worked in my heart and overcame those things and drew me to the place where, apart from the Lord, there's not much I'm afraid of now, because the Lord grew my branches over the wall. That's what God does. That's what the Lord does. Sometimes I fear that we've lost the spirit of adventure among Christians. There are very few Christians that are willing to stick their neck out and really do things for God. We know a missionary that when he was converted, went to Bible college and fell in love with another student, a girl there in Bible college. Her name was Linda. And he said to her, "I want to marry you." She said, "That's fine. I agree." He said, "Will you wait for me?" She said, "No, I'm going to the mission field." He said, "But I'm a year behind you." She said, "I'll be there waiting for you." Ooh. What did he get? And so she went to a very primitive mission field where there was no transport, and she trekked overland and crossed the river and went back up into the cold, cold mountains to do medical missionary work while he was at home. It'd make you want to be adventurous, wouldn't it? Fellas, it'd make you want to be adventurous. You want to marry this girl, you've got to pull your socks up about to your ears and go for it. And that's what he did. And he's never stopped. I fear sometimes we've lost that spirit of adventure among Christians, where the Lord's people say, "God wants me to grow beyond the wall and bear fruit somewhere else. Well, that's what I'll do. I'll just do that." And when we ask the question, then how can you do that? How could anyone do that? How could Joseph do this? How could Joseph do this? Well, look again at the text. There's one more. We have the wall and we have the will. The will of God was for him to do that, to grow beyond the wall. And then in verse 22, in the middle of the verse, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. Because the third word is the word well. The secret is the well. I'm going to say this to you, and you're going to be tired of me saying it to you. I'm going to say it to you more than once. If our roots are in the well, our boughs can grow over the wall. If our roots are in the well, we can do God's will to grow our boughs over the wall, to reach further than we ever had any idea. You ever get the impression, Christians, that many, many people who know the Lord are quite willing to do God's work as long as I can do it inside the wall? But God's will is for us to do it over the wall. And the only way our branches can reach over the wall is if our roots are in the well. It says here that he is a fruitful bough by a well. Read with me in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. You know the psalm. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, the secret is to get our own personal, unseen, spiritual life or devotional life into God's resources. into the Word of God, into fellowship with the Lord, into developing a personal relationship with the Lord, to draw near to God, to put our roots down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, because as we do that, we find our branches grow further and further and further. Probably some of you here know a lot more about horticulture and a lot more about growing trees than I do. But I enjoy reading about this, and I found a while back that horticulturists say oftentimes that the size of the root system determines the length of the branches on many trees. So that if the roots are cramped, the branches are short. But if the roots reach deep, deep, deep down in the earth and spread and spread and spread and spread, then the branches spread and spread and spread. What does that have to do with us? You know, if we grow in the Lord and we put our roots down into the Lord, we fellowship with God, we dig into His Word, we're not interested in little superficial stuff on the surface. We want to go deep with God. We want to know the Lord well. And as we grow in the Lord and grow in the Lord and grow in the Lord, then the branches run over the wall more and more and more. I want to tell you that men and women, boys and girls, can have ministry for Christ that reaches out to people all over the world. We have access, we have opportunity in these days with access to the internet, with mail service, with radio and video and all sorts of things like that. We have opportunity in these days to touch people's lives all over the world. I want to close by telling you that years ago, 1974, I went down to Tasmania. There's a missionary training college there in Tasmania. I can't vouch for its trustworthiness at this point. But the day we were there, we sat down in the office with the principal of the Bible college. He said, "I want to tell you about a prayer letter I just received." He said, "We had a student come to Bible college. It was a farm boy. He was a slow-talking, slow-thinking, slow-walking farm boy. You'd think he'd be more at home on a tractor than anywhere else. He's just a son of the soil, and that's what he was." And he said, because he wasn't super bright, he was just a slow-thinking fellow. He said it took him a long time to get through Bible college. He believed that God was calling him to go to, of all places, to go to Japan as a missionary. And here he was, this slow-talking, slow-thinking farm boy, went out on deputation, and it took him a long time to raise his support. He said, "We just received a prayer letter from him today. Listen to this." He said, "We would really appreciate your prayers for the Lord to bless the Bible study I've started with the nuclear physicist from the atomic power plant." Now, I look at that and I say, isn't that amazing? Because here is a boy that started out inside the wall, learned to put his roots down in the well, fellowship with the Lord, growing relationship with the Lord, and the Lord spread His branches out further and further and further. That's what's happening today all over the world. There are people who are serving the Lord just that way. I look at our young people. I look at little Selena back there and wonder, where will her branches run? Where will her branches run? I look at others among you and say, what's going to happen? What's God going to do in your life? Absolutely amazing what the Lord can do. And that's how it is that Joseph became so fruitful. Three things. He started inside the wall. God's will was for him to go beyond the wall, to exceed his wall. And it all happened because of the well. And it's a lesson to us. Let's take our hymnals and we're going to sing 393. "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." 393.